and partners, welcome to the God is a Geek podcast here in Valentine. Joining me this week is Gary Marsden. How we doing, son?
I've got nothing. I've got nothing.
Okay, well, it's good to hear you, Gary. Also joining me this week is Mr. Adam Williamson. How you doing,
boy? I got
boy?
one massive yeehaw, boy.
Yeehaw! My name's Chris White. Welcome to the God is a Geek podcast. So, yeah, obviously by the intro, we're going to do a lot of talking about ukulele. So let's get cracking. Or Red Dead. So Red Dead Redemption 2, it's out. It's been out for about a week, is it now? People are talking about it everywhere. But the only people's voices you're going to want to hear are ours, because we're the best. And Mr. Adam Cowell have been playing it. First off, because I reviewed it, we'll talk about that. But I kind of want to hear what your thoughts are initially on the old Red Dead Redemption 2.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so where do we start?
Exactly.
This game... Okay, I'm going to go straight into it, okay? I really enjoy this game. I really enjoy it, and I think a lot of us on the team might be in the same boat with what we're going to say about the game. So obviously leading into it, I was hearing tons about just the realism and all that kind of stuff, right? And I was like, oh, all right, okay, cool. Look, let's calm down a second. Let's wait until I'm going to get it, and I'm going to go in with an open mind and experience this, right? I'm going to be honest. The realism side of it, it is there for the most part, I feel.
Mm.
But the thing is, I don't know if I'm going to want this for future games. And it's a weird thing to say, because I just feel like playing a video game is kind of a thing to escape reality. And I just think, like, when Red Dead does these certain elements, which we'll get into, obviously, I don't know how I feel about it. Now, I'm going to go straight into, like, some of the things I'm not really a fan of as such. One that I'm going to come straight out and say is just the hunting, okay? The hunting for me... And I am speaking, and I don't want to be like all preachy about it, but the hunting for me is just a bit much. I don't really like doing it, and I think it's very graphic in its way, and it's the first time that a game has made me kind of feel awful. Like, and I mean very bad. Like, skinning all these animals, looking at that animation happen, it's... I'm not satisfied doing this. I'm not like going...
yeah.
Like, I know we're not supposed to be satisfied, and I know that's what this game was aiming to go for, but this is just one of many things that I'm kind of like... I think it's an achievement, and it makes you feel like this, but I don't know if I want it. And that goes forward to even just how the world is and how we're interacting with the world. So... obviously, for a lot of people, the pacing of the game is very slow. The pacing of that thing, for me, is not really bad. I actually kind of really like the pacing. Like, now, don't get me wrong, when the opening scene happens, I was like, oh, Jesus, this is slow, especially in that opening section.
Yeah.
I was like, this is a bit of a slog, but I kind of... in one way, when you think about it, I'm guessing that's how it would probably feel. Like, it does an amazing job of making you feel like, yeah, this is how it would be if you were going through these kind of conditions. And I'm like, all right, cool. The pacing, once you can accept that, I think the game becomes way more enjoyable. Because I think a lot of people are going in thinking, oh, brilliant, the new game from the GTA makers, let's take off and... blow things up and parachute everywhere, and like, I think we're forgetting about what kind of game this is actually supposed to be in its theme. And when you actually just take it slow, ride the horse in a kind of a nice manner or whatever, like, and just follow the path that you're supposed to take, I think the game becomes tremendous with the NPCs that you meet. And it kind of does an amazing job again of kind of portraying what kind of person you really are. And I know that a lot of games do the whole good and bad options, but I simply can't be bad in this game, lads. I just I think moments of going into houses and like robbing people or holding people at gunpoint, I don't really like doing it. And I don't know what this is, why this is the case, because you do almost worse things in GTA, but there's still that kind of, I don't know, a cartoon shine almost within GTA. I know that seems weird, but like,
I know, like, what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? There's like, so there's this one thing that Nicola was talking about on last week's podcast, and herself and Adam were talking about it, and they were saying that like there's a certain mission where you have to go into a person's house and you have to collect money from them. And this is all fine, this is all well and good, but the thing is, the game starts making you be bad. It tells you that you have to threaten this person, you have to beat them up, and they're like pretty much begging for their life. They're like, they're not saying anything, like you kind of wish these people were just saying bad things to you so you could be like, oh, you bastard, and you feel bad, you know. Like, but they're not, they're really helpless, and it's not fun. Like, that isn't fun for me. Now, Nicola was saying last week that when she was doing it, there was no other option. There actually is an option, because if you hold off, like, because when you hold them by the scruff of the neck and you're like, you're told to either threaten or beat. I'm constantly threatening them. And when you threaten, you don't actually physically hurt them. You just like shake them a small bit and verbally say something. And that's all fine. If you keep doing that, eventually they kind of give in and just do whatever. They kind of go, look, just take what you need. And it's kind of like, okay, cool. At least you're leaving me do that. But I actually genuinely feel that Rockstar wants you to probably hit these people. And it's a very small thing. And it's a very small mission. But it's a very disturbing factor within the game. Now, I'm not trying to say like, oh, I'm a gentle little soul, blah, blah, blah. Like, I just think games are heading in this realistic way. They're trying to achieve this realistic thing. And that's cool and all, but I don't know if I'm going to be up for it. And this game is kind of showing that for me. Now, the thing is, when it's trying to be so real, you do see things that repeat themselves. And that kind of does then again take away from the overall picture that was painted with this game. So, like, you have to kind of repeat that same mission again. So you're going to the house, you're taking stuff. Now, the thing about it is, you let the person go and you can start robbing their house, right? And you're there to collect the debt, as I said. So there's a certain value you need to pick up. And when you're opening the drawers and stuff and watching the same animation over and over again, you can pick up things like a wedding ring, like certain like money and whatever. But when you pick really personal things such as like the wedding ring, you can hear the character saying, oh, please, no, don't take that, whatever, right? And I'm like, oh, for fuck's sake, would you just stop. Like, I have to do this. The game is making me do these things. Like, don't make me feel bad. Now, you can leave it, but I, like, putting that situation in my control is really awkward, because I'm like, look, I'm in another town right now, and there's, like, a $150 bounty on my head, and I need to take this ring to sell it to get cash. I'm sorry, but I need to live too. Do you know what I mean? You have all these emotions flying through your head. But then when I repeated this similar mission, what went on was I was threatening and threatening and threatening, because I was like, okay, cool, I found the way that like I can do this without hurting them and makes me feel kind of okay. But what happened was the game kind of snipped into this cutscene, and all of a sudden the character that I was dealing with was like covered in blood on his head. And I was like, what the... I was like, I didn't do that. But the game, it was almost like it went, okay, you didn't do it, but we're just going to do it for you because we need you to do that in order to see the kind of cutscene that we have designed. And that was really unfortunate for me, because I was like, oh, that dude is destroyed now. And I didn't do that, but the game made this. And it kind of took away from the realistic side then as well. And I know the game can't be from start to finish like perfect, because I'm hearing people say that they're, when they're traveling along the land, you know, there's certain people you meet, you do the same kind of thing, like sucking the venom out of a character's leg or something from a snake bite, all these kind of things. And then unfortunately it brings in the situation with your horse. Now, look, I know we see certain cutscenes and certain things online of like funny situations with the cinematic mode that when you click it and the horse just loses control and whacks into a tree or something, right? It's kind of like, okay, that's humorous. But guys, I was there at one point and I was like traveling along with my horse and I was like, I'm greeting every single person, by the way. I'm just like, hey, how's it going? And I'm like, what's going on? Because there's all these like amazing little pieces of dialogue that you hear, like little interactions. And that's another thing we'll get to in a second, because as I said, this game is so unbelievably gigantic, it's hard to just cover everything in the space of this podcast. But the thing was, I was going along with my horse and I met this guy and he was like driving some car thing and I said, hey, what's up? Well, not what's up, he goes, hey, mister. And I was just like, immediately your man was just a fucking ball bag to me, right? And I was like, oh, all right, let's try this antagonize feature. So I press circle, he says something, and then your man stops and he takes out his rifle, and I'm like, all right, here we go, confrontation. And I'm like, I'm okay when the game kind of does this, if it's like, well, you pull the gun first, so I'm now just going to defend myself, and that's the way this is working. But the thing was, he said something to me, drove off, and I went, no, I'm not letting this slide at all. So I kind of went up beside him and kept pressing antagonize all the time. And then I did that classic Rockstar thing that we all do in GTA. Do you know if you're driving a car and you put the car in front of another car to get out and rob that car? So I did that. And next minute, he just sped up and like, honestly, blew me straight off the horse, right? And then dragged my horse all the way down the road under the cart. Okay? Like, I mean, drag the horse all the way down, and the horse, now this, I know within the video game aspect there's people who are going to say that's kind of hilarious. I honestly did not find this funny. Like, I ran down to the horse like a young boy just going, no, and I ended up calling my horse Link and everything, and I was like, Link, what's after happening?
Oh, you made the rookie error of naming the horse.
Hey, listen, right, I had to, right? I was like, I felt like I was going to have a big adventure with this person, right? I run down and it's just lying there. And I'm looking at it going, this is really upsetting.
Is it like the Lion King all over again?
Dude, it's literally, it is literally these moments. Like, these are the moments that, like, Rockstar are, like, achieving within the game. And don't get me wrong, it's pretty cool that they do this. Like, it is. But the thing was, there was nothing else I could do. Like, there was a certain situation where I was like, I wish this game had that feature. Do you know when something dies and all of a sudden it just disappears into the soil or something? It just like disintegrates and you're like, oh, the bad guy is gone or whatever like that. I kind of wish it did that. But the only option I could actually do was take off my saddle off of my horse and just walk away. And I was like, I feel utterly,
whatever.
but like, I know it's like, for some people it's whatever, but it's like, it just, It's a game that toys with your feelings really, really strongly. Now, aside from that, the overall aspect of the game, the voice acting is absolutely 10 out of 10. The game is voiced. It can't be voiced any better. The soundtrack is amazing. And I'm actually looking every day on Rockstar's Twitter page to see them announcing the vinyl or whatever, because I need to get that. That's all amazing. The stories that you encounter with every character, majority of the time, incredible. Like, you could do the simplest of things and it's this moment that you're like, that was really cool, because I could have totally have missed that. And there's a lot of people who are saying these things as well. But then the game does kind of, it does restrict you in some areas. Like, with a game as slow as it is, I don't know if you've thought this now, Chris, because like, you obviously like finished it, reviewed it and everything. But do you know when you get to your camp, right?
Yeah.
And you ride in your horse, the game is slow enough as it is.
Fucks me off. Fucks me off. I know what you're going to say.
But my God, why do you slow me down when I get to my camp?
And it's when you're kind of, people at your camp are going, get off your horse. Like, you're not allowed to. It's like, it's my camp, mate. I'm the fucker that's bringing all the money. You're just twacking about heating up your pots for a bit of bloody carrots. Like, I'm the one hunting. I'm the one bringing the money to buy upgrades for this place. I'll ride my horse where I want to.
It's really weird. Like, you have to get off the horse, and when you even get off the horse, you're restricted to even run in your camp. Like, you can't even sprint. And I'm like, and I mean, he goes so god, like, there's a lot, this character feels like, controlling Arthur is like, he's a heavy feeling character to walk around with. And I don't understand why when they're going for that whole realism thing, why they do that. Like, you can, if I go through a camp on my horse, I go through a camp on my horse. That should be allowed. Like, it's a very small thing, do you know?
Yeah.
But, like, the game, I don't know. Like, I'm only about 16% in the game. And I honestly, that alone just is blowing my mind, because I'm like, oh, I really want to get to Assassin's Creed. It's not that I want to rush this game, but I feel so bad for people who actually, like, review this game. Like the amount of times you have to speed through the game, like, because it is going to be, like, if you're speeding through this game, it's probably going to be at least 50 hours still. Do you know, 50 to 60 hours of yeah. playing game. But there's so much stuff that you actually can miss. And I feel like it's unfortunate for some people who were, like, obviously it's great you got to review it and stuff, but to speed through this game is a no-go. You should never do this. Like, anyone that's looking, and like I know, Gaz, you still haven't touched it, like, and yeah. if I'm brutally honest, don't go near it probably until you have no plans for any other game. Like,
yeah,
because I don't think you can play this if you have in your mind, oh, but I want to get to Assassin's Creed next, or I want to get, like, Resident Evil is coming out, like, early next year. Like, this game is going to take weeks and weeks and weeks, and I have come to terms with that, and I'm okay with it. I'm okay with that. Like, it's not like a game that when you jump back in that you're kind of going, oh, what was I doing again? It really is a kind of a cowboy simulator in some ways. And yeah.
There hasn't been a game like this year. Like, you've had Spider-Man and God of War, say, for example, where you've got, there's things to do outside the main story, but you never going for a shave or a haircut or a bath. You have to go and buy supplies. Like, you're right when you say it's a cowboy simulator. There's no way to rush through this game, because even if you're trying to go from mission to mission, like for a view, that's kind of something you kind of have to do in games. You get sometimes you may go, oh, today I'm just going to focus on the side stuff. But say you're kind of getting through the missions, there's very limited fast travel. Or it's not explained very well, so you don't know how to fast travel. So you have to physically ride from one place to the next. And whilst the map's massive, the missions are relatively near, but it still takes ages to get from one place to the other. And then you can't just blast through the missions, because then if your health starts to deteriorate, you've got to go and hunt or buy stuff or whatnot, and then you've got to think about your camp, so you've got to go back to your camp and do all that and raise money to buy upgrades for the camp, which makes it easier in the long run. But again, it's very, it doesn't explain everything greatly, so you do struggle sometimes to work out how to do this or how to do that. But yeah, you live it. You are living this game. You're not playing it. It's not something completely like God of War, where it's a big game and there's a lot to do, but it's specifically story-based, action-based. This is, you're doing everything from grooming your horse and bonding with your horse to cleaning your weaponry. Like, if your gun gets dirty, you have to maintain that by pressing the R3 button. So you got to polish your gun, make sure the stats go back up. You got to think about going to town and going to the general store to buy ammunition or outfits or whatever. Stuff for your horse. There's horse tonics and stuff you have to think about. It's not just your health, it's your companion, so you're thinking about that.
So that kind of stuff, if I'm brutally honest, the kind of, like, the whole survival aspect of the game, I really don't like it. I'm not a fan. Like, I know people like this kind of thing, and I know it offers a sense of realism, but, like, if I'm brutally honest, like, I'm using certain items in the game, and I, like, there's never a situation where all those icons are full. They barely do anything when you drink these items, when you eat and stuff, and I don't know, like, how important it really feels within the game, because it doesn't really feel like, oh, I better really eat here because I can see that my character is struggling. Like, I'll eat something when I see it low, and then I seem to be fine, and I don't have to do that again for, like, another hour almost or something, do you know?
Yeah.
Like, those kind of things are where the game kind of just falls on its arse for me. Like, the managing of that, and just, like, small things like pressing start and then clicking map to go into them. Like, come on. Like, Rockstar, seriously? Are you, like, you're doing this game and, like, we all know that we should just click the touchpad and it brings us into the goddamn map. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that, like, that's just like that's something me and Adam talked about. It was you can, if you hold in the options button, it brings up the map.
Right.
So you don't have
to, oh really?
Yeah, if you try that, you don't have to go into the options, but it doesn't tell you that.
Exactly. Like
the game does struggle to tell you certain things, so you I don't know whether there's a menu in the game which tells you that that's what happens, but you hold options and your map does open up without having to go in the menus. But again, like, that's vital because the amount of times you need to open that map to get anywhere, it's ridiculous. Like, it's, yeah. You have to look at that map a lot, so you need a quick way to get it. And I mean, you can't do it, but that, as I said, it's one of many things that it doesn't explain so well. But go on.
No, I was just going to say as well that, aside from all that, the game is a serious achievement. It is a serious achievement. Like, if you're running, like, I've seen this played on, Xbox One, like, 4K, and honest to God, it is just, like, it is extraordinary how it looks, you know, the lighting and everything. But when you can get past those kind of moments of the game that you don't enjoy, like, because there's going to be a lot of it, like, there's going to be different elements that people don't like. I don't think a lot of people are going to be down for the pacing. I don't think people are a fan of how slow it is. But it's kind of up to you in some sense. Like, if you want the game to be action-packed, then just go around and shoot everyone and you'll have all these, like, sheriffs after you and it turns into, like, a proper Western video game, because I, at one point, had, like, a massive load of people after me, and it was utterly terrifying, because, you're there, and you're tearing on your horse, and there's, like, 10 guys behind you, and they're all shooting as bullets speeding past you, and there was this, like, amazing moment where I'm running, and I hear a train coming, and I was like, where's the train coming? And it came up from behind me, and I was able to just press square and launch onto the train and take off, and those guys were just left behind, and I thought it felt so amazing. It really is like a Hateful Eight video game. That is straight up what this is like. Like, have you ever seen the Hateful Eight?
Yeah.
The slowness of that and everything is how it is. But there was also this, amazing, one last moment I want to mention, there was this amazing moment within the game that I was chasing this guy and I kind of took up my rope and I pulled him back and I tied him up, whatever, and I was trying to get a treasure map off him. And I looted him and he was, like, telling me to, like, cut him loose or whatever, like, and I took the map off him and I got what I needed. And I was like, okay, cool, that's that now. So he was begging me to get him, to cut him loose. I just, out of curiosity, said, I wonder will the game react if I do this? And I took out my gun and I just pointed at his head. And then Arthur just says, okay, it's time. And I was just like, holy smokes. I was like, the game is actually acknowledging the fact that I'm about to end this dude's life. And I didn't. But what I did do is I just said, I'm going to take this even further. So I put my gun away, picked up him, kept him tied up, put him on the back of my horse, and I rode to the destination where I needed to go on his treasure map. And as I'm riding with him, he's talking to me. He's just like saying, look, you don't need to do this. Just let me go. You now have the map and stuff. And I was like, that's ridiculous. That is, like, insane level of detail that you can get out of the game, but you need to, like, obviously do it yourself and have the patience to like do that, because when you take it that slow, you get rewarded, and I think that's where the game really shines.
Yeah, but I think if you're willing to spend the time with it, it does reward you. And like the story, yes, it's a good 50-60 hours, but then everything else, like, since finishing the review, I've spent at least another 20 just doing other stuff. Like, I spent a whole night fishing. I went searching for, like, some of the legendary fish and finding the right bait and travelling the map to find good spots. And it's like that's the kind of stuff I wanted from this. I wanted to live this game. And whilst you can't rush it, if you're willing to spend the time with it, it's incredible. And it, you know, like, you're going on about how the game is very smart and how that character reacted to what you did. I remember doing something in Valentine where there's certain shops or places where there's, like, back rooms, and there's a back room in the medics in Valentine, like, the first town you go to, and you knock on the door and they, like, tell you to fuck off or whatever, and then you go to the front of the store and talk to the kind of guy behind the counter, and if you point your gun at him, it'll be like, look, all right, okay, I'll show you what's going on, but don't do anything stupid. And then he takes you to the back room, opens it, makes out it's just him going in, because he didn't want to alarm the guys behind the door. And then he opens the door, you walk in, and like they all pull the gun out at you. So I'm not just going to stand there. So I shoot them all, kill them all. It turned out into this massive kind of gunfight where the law office got involved and the sheriff. And then there's like a huge bounty on my shoulders because that's what the game does. And then eventually I went back to the town after about 10 hours and I paid off the bounty, which was probably about 300 at the time. And then I was clean again. So I went back to the same store, and the guy behind the counter was like, look, I don't want any trouble this time. I know it happened last time, but look, just buy your stuff and leave. And I was like, that's amazing. Like, yeah, games don't do that. Like, Rockstar have literally just... like, they've made something remarkable, and that's why I don't want people to think it's just like Grand Theft Auto with horses, because it's not. The pace in it is a lot. It's a lot kind of slower, and the world is bigger, and there's not loads to do in every kind of square foot of the game. You've just got to be patient, and you've just got to accept that you are living this life within this game where you are Arthur Morgan, and you have to hunt, you have to, you know, steal to certain points, you have to take long journeys to get somewhere. But I think once you do that, you're right, it becomes a fantastic game. And like,
yeah, you know. I think as well, like they raised the bar in terms of like creating this game. I think like it just makes like, there's a lot of the game that, like, yeah, look, you're going to have moments where you feel like, as I said, you've been through this already. I've seen this moment unfold. But overall, everything is really, it just feels real. And all I can think about as well throughout this is that, like, Rockstar have done this now with Red Dead, okay? If they're going to release GTA 6 and they're going to have this kind of design in mind, I think GTA 6 is going to be very controversial. Like, I think it's... if they're going to do this whole thing, like, I think they're going to really push the boundaries on their next title as well. Because for the game that Red Dead is, like, an open world cowboy game, and as you just said, Chris, there, like, you ride through it, there's not much going on. You might meet a character, you might meet two or three characters along a journey of 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But, like, you take GTA, right, and you take what they've done, like in the game class for Red Dead, and put that into GTA where there's just people everywhere, there's vehicles, you can run. I think it'll be very intense, like, if they're going that route. Like, look, Red Dead 2 is like, it's amazing. It's a fantastic game. But I don't think anyone was prepared for what it really has become. Like, I just, I think everyone went, this game, like, we'll get to it, like, it obviously we all know it's sold amazing, we have that in the news, but like, I just don't know if everyone expected it to be this way. Like, I think a lot of people might have been, oh, this is like, it's just really slow, I don't know if it's for me. It's definitely the most, hands down, whether it's people's game of the year or whatever, it is the most interesting game released this year.
Yeah,
no question.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the same elements to it. Like, I really love crafting in it. But there are other games out there.
That was good, actually. No, I'm gonna,
yeah, but it would have been better if I didn't like giggle at my own fucking segue. But Call of Cthulhu. Now, I haven't touched this yet, but I know you guys have, and I've heard a lot of interesting things about it. So Gary, you reviewed it for the site. What is Call of Cthulhu?
Well, it's actually a weird one to kind of describe, because I expected a horror game, but it's not. It's more of a thriller, detective thriller.
Yeah, I would have thought it'd be more of a horror based on the kind of mythos
there
and stuff.
There are like the horror elements to it, but
yeah.
Like, I mean, I said as much in the review, but I was kind of disappointed because there was so much atmosphere in like the first few hours that I played in that preview. That obviously, like, that was kind of like the beginning of the game, and when I went back and I've replayed it, I'll say that some things did change, which was quite nice, because it's like it didn't go exactly the same way, because my character, I made my character slightly different, like put the points into different things, and it meant that when I went to the town, when you speaking to the various people there, I couldn't give the same answers, or I couldn't go the same route that I went originally, which was quite cool, because at least like it meant that I had a different experience this time. I didn't literally just play the exact same like 3 hours. Sorry, that was a bit of a went off on one. After that point, they kind of ramp up the horror to a point where they kind of reveal it. I'm trying to be as vague as possible.
And I appreciate that.
And it doesn't quite pay off, and it still has atmosphere, but it never really follows it up throughout the entire game, and it's a bit of a shame. But I mean, it does have some big problems, but I will say like it's worth playing for the story, because the story is very good. I got about halfway through and there was some really crap puzzles in there. Like there was one where you had to do a thing in like a certain order to get a code for a safe. At no point does it really give you the information you need to work out the answer. So I had to brute force it. I had to just guess the code.
Really?
Yeah, because I didn't know what it wanted me to do. Like, well, I didn't know which sort of order it was supposed to go in. It just didn't make it clear enough. Some of that, okay, I could say maybe I was a bit stupid and at the same time, I was kind of like, but you've kind of got to cater for people who might not be able to work it out. And, I'm not saying dumb it down to the point of just shouting at you the answer or something, but I felt stupid, and I ended up just going, you know what, I'm going to brute force it, did it, and I mean, to be fair, that was kind of the worst part. There were no others that were quite as bad as that, but it was one of the ones that
Just to counteract that exact one you're talking about, right? That is the only puzzle that I like discovered the answer for, and when I did, I honestly felt like a genius. I was like, I can't believe that was actually it, because you're so right in saying it. They just, it's almost like every puzzle, they do not want you to really find out. Like, even if they give you a clue, it's so vague.
Yes.
And it's explaining to where this hint might lead you, and you're just like, what? Like, what's going on here? Like, and that particular one, like, using the brute force aspect, fair play, man. Like, that's an accomplishment, because I, in my head, went, I'll try that as well, and I just went, you know what? I'm going to be here all day trying to figure this one out if I do this. So I really just, like, thought about that puzzle for an entire day, like, in work and everything, and I went, oh, my God. There it is. But like I struggled with other puzzles, man. Like, continue on what you're saying, but I struggled with one other one as well.
Yeah,
I just want to see if you'll bring it up.
I think I know it's which one. Well, I don't think I know which one you're talking about. But yeah, that one was kind of one that was, I worked it out, but obviously that like you and you had a problem where you, it seems like the game was broken for you.
I can't finish the game, and I feel like it's the game's fault and not mine.
I mean, have you played it since it was patched? Because I know it's been patched a couple of times since
I only got the one patch right. So far.
I know there was another one the other day, so it's possible that was one of the things they fit. Because I mean, PlayStation Network stuff being the way it is, or rather, it's down to the developers. I think you can look like what the update brought with it on the main menu. And it just says bugs and bugs and fixes kind of thing, and I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
so just to have like the listener know, if they're ever stuck on it as well, it's a particular mission, it's one of these, not a dream sequences, but basically, when you have every item that you pick up, you can see a circle kind of on the HUD that makes you go, oh, there's something to press X to or whatever. And I'm in that situation currently, and I simply cannot interact with the icon. I've reset my system, I've closed the application, rebooted it, like all that jazz, and it's still happening. And like if you agree with this as well, Gary, but like I felt that a lot of situations like this that I'm currently on about, like any puzzle that you're maybe stumped on, I find myself going, okay, look, I don't know what I'm supposed to do, so I'm going to just scale the entire room of the wall,
yeah,
just in case there's an item that I might just pick up or something.
Yeah,
like when you have to do that within a game, the game is unfortunately poor at this point.
Yeah,
it's, like in that manner,
it is. I mean, it's a real shame, because I mean, I don't know if you had this as well. Again, I have to be vague, but when you first meet the creature,
oh Jesus!
Yeah, you know what I'm thinking. It's just like, it just, you know what you've got to do to. Well, all right, you quickly work out what you've got to do to yeah, get past this section. But there is no real way of doing it without just kind of just guessing, running around. It's like Benny Hill. You end up just running around in circles,
yeah,
like trying to find the right thing. And, like, I mean, I did this, I think it took me, I want to say about 45 minutes. Because, like, at first it was like, okay, I need to work out what I'm doing. And, I mean, just, well, before we get to that bit, because that was kind of a disappointing thing, I will say that before that, the lead up to it, I was bricking it. Because it was so well built up that, mm-hmm, you know, you, like, I you know it's coming. That's kind of like the genius part about it. You know that the scare is coming, but you have to do it anyway. You know, the game pushes, yeah, you to do it, and that makes it worse, because you're like, I have no way of getting out of it, you know, and I know it's coming. And that, I would say, is brilliant. I thought it was so well done.
That, like, that's fantastic. It is. But the game doesn't really let you know if it's like, okay, you have to stealth here. Like, yes, it's going to benefit you if you stealth. It doesn't tell you that. So when you're trying this particular moment, which, like, we can just explain in like small detail what it is. It's just, as you said, you're in a room with a particular thing and you need to find an item, but the thing is, there's about 20 of the same items, so you have to pick the right one.
Yeah.
And all while doing this, you don't know whether you're supposed to fucking sneak around or run or whatever, but it's going to result, anybody who plays this game and plays that section is definitely going to die in their first go.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way you can get this in your first go. Yeah. Do you know?
It was like, it was so frustrating. I mean, it got to a point where I wasn't scared. You know, it just didn't. Mm. But I was kind of like, oh, for fuck's, you know. And it gets to a point where I'd get this thing, I'd try it was wrong, and then the creature would see me and run at me, and I'm like, you know what, just kill me, just get it over with. I'll just reload it and do it again. And that was kind of the moment where I was just like, right, yeah, this isn't the game I hoped it'd be.
Yeah,
I mean, but like, it's, I mean, it does get better. There are some really good moments in there, and it's kind of,
as you said, the story is great.
Yeah,
the story is great.
By the end, I was like, this, you know, I'm in. You know, I was fully immersed, and I was kind of pleased to see that you, without spoiling it again, you kind of get the choices that you want. And I'm kind of glad they did that. And I was like, right, this is cool. And I would be interested, maybe at some point down the road, going back and play it through again, because you've got these, I forget what they were called, but they were kind of like books of forbidden knowledge, mm-hmm, kind of thing. And you pick them up and it gives you the option, do you want to read it or not, basically? Mm-hmm. And I read only one of them, because I was kind of like, you know, I kind of want to see what happens. It didn't really seem to do anything that I could see throughout the game, but I'm like, I kind of want to see what happens if I read them all. You know, see if anything changes in a particular way. Because I did like how things do change, because like it's almost like Telltale games. Sometimes you'll do an action and it comes up like this action has altered your destiny. And I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, cool. But you don't know what it's altered, because obviously like just it kind of does things dynamically. But yeah, I mean, I just couldn't quite get past some of the awkwardness in it. I mean, there's just a few too many moments where you don't really know what you're doing, and like Adam said before, it's just you are just kind of wandering around every inch of the place you're in to see if you can find something. Because at one point it was pretty much the bit after the stuff that I initially played in the preview, and it's like, right, I have to get out of this place. How do I do it? And I was like, I think I spent a good hour on this one section looking everywhere. I couldn't find what to do, and it turned out basically I had to when I went back to it, reloaded an item that I needed appeared. Like it had apparently just not materialized in the initial play, and it took a reloading for that item to appear, and it's like, oh, for God's sake. So yeah, it's just, there's a good game in there, it's just held back by just some poor design.
Yeah, and that's the real shame, because like all you really want to do when you understand the general concept of the game, you're like, okay, cool, now I just want to really go through the story. I want to the story is so strong, I feel, and it does have its vibe. Now I want to ask you guys, how do you think this game looks? Because I think it looks like Soggy Bum Bum.
Well, I was like, I think the environments look good. I like that. I think the lighting's good, but the characters are garbage. The characters are awful.
Shocking, man. Like,
I mean, it's weird because, again, when I played the preview, that was on PC, and I didn't have any of these issues. Maybe it's because, like, I mean, I was playing it on 1080p on the PC with, like, everything on max, so it must have smoothed out some of this stuff. I mean, I did notice some of the awkwardness in the characters and that, but nothing like what it is on PS4. And bearing in mind I'm playing it on a Pro, which is in 4K as well, I was like, how does this look so bad? You know, it looks worse than when I played, let's say, the PC version in a lower resolution. And it's just, and it's stuff like, you can see kind of the inside of the characters' mouths. You can kind of see this weird thing with the teeth that doesn't quite look right.
Oh, it's so rough.
Yeah, it kind of reminded me of like late PS2, early PS3 kind of graphics when it came to the character designs.
Jesus, and really?
Chris, it's quite something.
Some of the textures aren't too bad, you know, like the clothing and that kind of thing, but there's just some stuff about just the actual faces, and it's like Edward himself is, it's really,
he's so generic looking.
Yeah, and it's bizarre because it's obviously something down, like it's a fundamental flaw within the graphics, because when you get into some of like the pre-rendered stuff, it's kind of like using the in-game engine, but it looks horribly compressed for a start when they go into these.
Yeah, it does.
But it still has those same problems with the character models, and Edward's face is bizarre. Like when he's afraid and his eyes go wide, and his hair just suddenly magically goes like wild.
That's a great point you actually brought up there. I have to say though, they really do nail. Now whether it's a mistake in its visuals or whatever, but when he looks terrified, he really looks terrified. It's like Jesus, he is so scared right now. It's really funny when it happens. I just want to say quickly as well, right? I really wish I took this video. I wish I saved it. But when you're talking to the NPCs in the game, it kind of almost has that kind of Skyrim Fallout aspect, you know. Yes. It doesn't zoom in necessarily, but you're just staring at this character. Honestly, one of the characters lost the plot when I was talking to them, so much so that if you took this particular video that I had and added some dance music, it would look like he was doing Zumba. Like, it was, I was just looking at the screen going, are you fucking all right? I was like, your elbows and everything are all over the place. And, you know, it was like he had really bad twitches and stuff. And I was like, what is going on with this game? I was like, this is madness. But yeah, it does, like, because it does have an atmosphere. Like, at times, you did, like, you are saying that there is an atmosphere that comes into place, but, oh, Jesus, like, I'm playing it on PS, just standard PS4, man. I'm playing it probably on the worst you can have it now. And, you know, when you're going from that to Red Dead, wowzaroonies.
Yeah, it's a shame. Like I say, there's a good game in there. And, like, I think it deserves to be played, but it needs to be fixed first. I can't sort of in good conscience say you should really play this game, and, you know, because like the puzzles are really good and stuff. And it's like, because you'll hate me. You will hate me for telling you to do that.
Yeah, it's not for everyone.
No,
it just really isn't. Like, if anyone's out there thinking like, oh, cool, another Resident Evil 7 style thing, it's absolutely not. It's just not.
There's
like,
so much. It's more
even the fear factor. I don't think it's, you know, that a really lot of it that scary from what I've gone through.
It's
more mood.
Yeah, it's all like it's building tension and stuff from the things around you, and then it throws proper scares at you. But when it does, it never quite delivers. It always kind of falls that little bit short.
Mm.
Yeah, the last thing I want to say quickly as well is that the price for this game is all wrong. Like, you can, like, this game is not a full price game in my opinion. Like, you're to purchase it here anyway in Canada, you're spending $89.99. That's so much for this game. Like, this game is,
how,
like,
is this Red Dead,
if it's
though?
A new $89.99.
Right. Wow. Yeah.
Like, it's the same. Like, I really thought, like, playing Cthulhu, I was like, this is probably going to be maybe a 40, 50 game maybe, and then probably in January you'll see it go down to sale at like 20. Like, that's just the only going off of what I've played, like what the game offers you and stuff. It's just not a $90 price game. Like, it's,
yeah, because I will say one thing that it does kind of, it almost does let it down. Like, the story, like I say, is really good, but although you have like the differences in just some of the things that happen because of your choices, without spoiling it too much, you can get to the end and still basically see any ending you want.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And that kind of takes away some of the oomph of the decisions.
Yeah.
It does, because it is still cool, like some of the stuff that you see, because I've seen all the endings. And the, you know, each of them kind of offers a very different take on what's happened. But it does, again, it just takes away from the power of the story a little bit.
You're
just like, oh, because it didn't matter all the stuff that I did, it still lead to I can make a decision. And I almost see, because I never had a problem with Mass Effect's endings, you know, in Mass Effect 3, but now I kind of see why people did. If that makes sense, because I'm kind of seeing that happening. But it's a shame. But
yeah,
worth checking out eventually. Just wait,
read the books.
It's fixed. And, true.
There you go. Chris says it straight to the point.
Oh,
ignore all this review.
I've heard the author's quite popular. What's his name?
R.L. Stein.
Yeah, there you go. R.L. Stein. Goosebumps. Did he do Goosebumps?
Yeah, man.
Oh, man, them books were top-notch.
Cthulhu rocks up in Goosebumps.
That'd make that film 20 times better. But we'll go to the news. Now, BlizzCon 2018 has been happening. There's a lot coming out of it. We'll start off with Overwatch. So they have just announced via one of their animated shorts, which, if you happen to have never seen one of these, go on YouTube and watch them all, because they're incredible.
Yeah. Like, also, what's wrong with you? Why have you not watched these? Because
exactly,
they're amazing.
Yeah. Like, Overwatch have built this world outside of the game through comics, which are also incredible, which I believe are free as well, and these shorts. But there's basically a new animated short called Reunion, which showed the new character, Elizabeth Caledonia Calamity Ash. But she's called Ash for short. And she's tied to McCree. And she's got lovely little friends who are a little robot called Echo and Bob. But basically...
Bob.
It's fucking ace, though. Bob.
So Jeff Kaplan came out and confirmed that she was the leader of the Fearsome Deadlock gang. And she'd be the 29th addition to the Overwatch hero roster, which is incredible when you think about it. She looks pretty cool. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, I'm into. Oh, and she's voiced by Jennifer Hale as well. And
is she?
Yeah.
Fuck me, I'm sold.
Yeah.
Sold. Wow.
I love Jennifer Hale. I'm not ashamed to admit.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
If she listens to this, you know, get in touch.
Fucking brilliant. That'd be amazing. Yeah.
No, that's the title of the podcast, Jennifer Hale, get in touch. But no, I think she, I mean, the short itself is brilliant, and like she is like the perfect opposite to McCree as well, which I think is cool. And yeah, I'm into that. I'm into that.
Yeah, cool. Also, it's been announced that Warcraft 3 will be getting a remaster. Called Warcraft 3 Reforged. It'll be released for PC, so that's Gary will be happy.
Happy about that. I loved the original, but I was never good enough to get through it. And if this is anything like what they did with like StarCraft 2, they made it a lot more accessible, so I might actually be able to play through this one properly. I'll be happy.
So that's one. And then Diablo Immortal, a massive multiplayer game which is set between the events of Diablo 2 and Diablo 3, and it's all on phones, is it not? Well, or mobile devices, shall I say?
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where I'm going to be positive. I think any Diablo is good Diablo, and yes, there's a high expectation for Diablo 4 at some point, but do you know what? Just embrace it. Embrace the game. They're constantly trying to do something different, and that's something Blizzard have always managed to do in their video games.
It kind of astounds me that people still get arsey about mobile games. It's just like, what most, like pretty much everyone has got a phone that could play some, like they could probably play this game on their phone, like
Absolutely.
When it comes out, and it's just like, why are you moaning? You can play it. It's not like it's coming out for a system you don't have or something like that. It's just, and
if you actually go into the Play Store or the I don't have an iPhone, so I don't know what you call it, whatever the store is on, the App Store. The amount of games on mobile which I've spent many hours with, which are incredible. Like, they're not just cheap versions of a game, that the people spend a lot of time making them, just, you know, to a high like caliber, like and I think this isn't just going to be some cash in this franchise, like, for the fact that it's Blizzard doing it. And if you're not one of these diehard Blizzard fans that just keep tweeting Diablo 4, just give it a fucking go and give it a chance. Like, I think it looks pretty cool. It's just a bit of fun, you know. You're on the train. If you're not got a Switch and you're not playing Diablo 3, get on this. I'm looking forward to see what it's like, and I'll be playing it. Yeah. And if it's bad, fair enough.
And they did say don't expect a Diablo 4 announcement.
Exactly.
So these people that are complaining that they didn't get Diablo 4, it's like, you've only got yourself to blame for getting your hopes up.
Yeah, just completely.
Deal with it.
Yeah. Oh, swaps. So the PS4 Pro is coming out with a 2 terabyte model, releasing on November the 21st in Japan. Not much to say about that.
No, it's kind of about time they did one with a bigger hard drive.
Yeah,
the Pro, same with the X, they should have shipped with a bigger hard drive anyway. But
yeah,
yeah,
it's all right.
There you go. Super Smash Brothers. So they've announced the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Fighters Pass. Early purchases include a piranha plant. How fucking great is that? Hey, how excited are you about that? Hey, so Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. I've never been the biggest fan. I'm not the biggest fan. I've just never played a load of them, so I haven't got the same excitement as a lot of people have. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's a cool game, but these directs and all this just focus on Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. It's just kind of getting a bit. Yeah, it's getting a bit too much. And I kind of like a bit of intrigue when a game comes out. I don't know every bloody aspect of it. But, that's another time. But, yeah, so there's new fighters announced. Stages and music will be all added through the end at the end of February 2020 to the game with the Fighters Pass. Each set will cost £5.39, while the pass with five sets will be £22.49. And players who buy the Fighter Pass will also receive an in-game outfit based on Rex from Xenoblade Chronicles 2. There you go. So... yeah, is anyone actually going to be buying this?
Nah.
I'm really bad at this game. I'm just not a good fighting game person. Mm. I'd like to give it a go, but if I'm honest, just exactly what you said there, Chris, I'm just burnt out from hearing about it. Mm. I'm just like, just release the goddamn game now. Just release it, because I'm... Do you know, let's just move on. It's Smash. People are going to buy it. That's cool. It's really weird, to be honest, that they're... on about it so much, because it almost feels like they think that it's not going to sell.
Yeah.
So they're doing everything.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
It's really bizarre. It's like, this is going to sell for you. Don't worry. Like, do you know? Like, if you think about it, Mario Kart didn't even remotely get this much attention at all when it was coming out. Do you know what I mean? This is like, you'd almost swear that this is like a completely brand new Super Smash Brothers game. Do you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. It'll sell. I'm not really going to get it though. I probably will. If I'm honest, I'm going to go. I'm going to buy it day one. I probably will, if I'm honest, saying that for.
Also, Bethesda have unveiled the Tales from the West Virginia Hills holotape series for Fallout 76. Next bit of news. No, actually, I can't. I love Fallout. I've loved the series for a long time, like many people. But this game has done nothing to excite me at all. I just don't care for it.
I watched, everyone should watch Mick's video about it.
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
It did. It sounded like just the game I don't want, essentially. It's like, I think it'll be, for those people that want that interaction and you know, almost an arcade experience for Fallout, by the looks of it, or by the sounds of it, they'll all love it, but I think for people who are expecting a new Fallout, I think they're going to be disappointed. And
it looks
like it'll be good fun for the people that want that type of game. But I think anyone else, you're not going to really get on with it.
Mm.
You never know.
I mean, exactly. You never know. The games come out, and like Fortnite came out, and it was base building, pretty standard. It was all right. And then they did Battle Royale, and that changed the world. So, you know, Bethesda might see how it does, and if it doesn't do too well, they've probably got plans for it. But, you know, at the moment, nothing really exciting. Next bit of news. I can hear Gary's underpants squelching around on the microphone. Resident Evil 2 classic costumes are going to be shown off and unlockable in the game for free. So the Resident Evil 2 remaster arrives in January. Every player will be able to unlock Leon and Claire's classic costumes for free, which is fucking cool.
Yep.
Because
I'm fine with that.
because Resident Evil 2. I can't believe it's like still 2-3 months away. Like January 25th. But they're doing a really good job of building this up. You know, they're not releasing like info every week. They're not hyping up different like levels and showing you every certain bit of the game off. They're kind of drip feeding you, and you know they're doing a great job, and like I can't wait to see that. I mean, we've all seen the footage from that with me and Gary and Mr. Adam Cook talked over, and it looks incredible. Like, this is going to be great.
I cannot wait.
But yeah, so there's some classic outfits. ID Xbox is celebrating 1,000 titles released through its program, which is quite impressive, because it's in 5 years they've managed to release that many games, and you know they've seen some classics come through. Like, there was well, Cuphead for starters. There was Rhyme, Tacoma, to name a few. They're all kind of recent, but yeah.
Below hasn't been one of them yet, though, has it?
No.
I'm just going to keep saying it.
No, but I know. Have you written a heartfelt letter to them? I think you should. And I think they might understand. Like, if you collected all your tweets and messages over the last few years, they'd see how much it meant to you, and I think they might release it, guys. I think it's worth a shot because you ain't getting this game in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I keep saying they'll release it on January 25th. It'll be bastards.
Oh, I bet they bloody will. But riding off the news, as we've been talking about at the start, Red Dead Redemption 2 has 725 million in its first 3 days, which is absolutely mental. So that's going to go on to beat GTA, isn't it? Like, GTA hit 1 billion in its retail sell through its first 3 days. So, you know, down the line. I suppose it all depends on Red Dead Online, but it started off pretty well, hasn't it?
Yeah.
So
it was expected.
Exactly. Listener correspondence time now. So thank you for tweeting us your questions. Thomas at LlamaFluff42. What a ledge this guy is. Do you think Nintendo has overexposed smashing all those directs? Well, funnily enough, we've kind of answered this one. Shit. It seems strange to drill down to the... I'm not smart. What does that say?
Minutiae.
Ooh, check you out. So far in advance. Maybe it pads out a barren release schedule, but it spoils things and I'm not disciplined enough to avoid watching it. Well, yes.
They definitely have.
It's been overexposed.
I think they did it overkill in that first one, where they just went through every single character and oh, this is their moves and this is their whatever. And I was just like, why are we watching this?
Yeah, I'll experience it for myself.
It'd be like announcing, a new Mortal Kombat and going through, here's Raiden, here's Scorpion, here's Sub-Zero, here's Sonya Blade. And, here's all their moves, here's their fatalities. It's like... That's not the way that you announce a game. It's not the way you show off a game, because you're leaving nothing for the player to figure out.
Yeah.
Like you've seen it all before. I mean, I know you can not watch it if you want, but in this day and age, you can't really. It's very difficult. It's just. Yeah, I think they need to just shut up and just let it get released now.
Enjoy that, Nintendo. God has spoken. Yeah, no, you're right. I think they just need to get on with releasing it now. Thomas also gave us another question, which I noticed on Twitter, which I'm going to bring up because I don't know whether I agree with it. So, Christmas time, you get your celebrations boxes, Cadbury celebration boxes, to be specific. Which is the bar that you're going to leave till last? Orders. Like, he's gone chomp. But I really like chomps.
So what's in celebrations?
So you've got Curly Whirlies, your Freddos,
right?
You got your standard little pack of buttons. I'm not leaving the chomp till last, mate.
I'd probably leave the Freddos till last.
Yeah, Freddos or the buttons.
I'd leave the buttons.
Yeah.
See, yeah. I like the buttons, but although I prefer the white chocolate ones, though.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you prefer white chocolate in general, or is it just with the buttons?
It's one of those weird things. I've found myself liking it more as I get older. I don't know why. I've discovered that I have a massive weakness for white chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, yeah. Set ones from Sainsbury's and that, like the packs of five.
Yeah, I mean, I got some from Morrison's the other day, and it was like a pack of five, and I ate them all in a day, like in the one day. Like, I was just like, okay, I'll just have one, and then it's like half the packet's gone. I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah, good. good call. McPoo, do you have a game that you replay annually or fairly regularly? I play Journey every year around Christmas when it's dark outside, so I'll turn all the lights off, and sit there to play it from start to finish. Firstly, great choice.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So I've played since it was released, The Last of Us, every year, because it's just that game, that one game that I just can't. I'll finish it, and then instantly I'll be like, I want to play for it again. But that there's very rarely anything else that I'll play from start to finish other than that. But I mean, that's me. What about you, Adam?
I'm gonna go for Uncharted 4.
Ooh,
I didn't
expect that.
I just absolutely adore that franchise, and 4 was just one of those games where I was like, yep, yeah, this is just incredible. Like, I've played it, I think I've played Uncharted 4 about 6 times.
Wow.
Yeah.
It is amazing.
It's just one of those games that's just like really entertaining, it's fast paced, it's not too long, and it just looks amazing. So,
and we could talk about that as much as we want, and Nicola won't have anything to say because you're not here. We love you, Nick.
But Gary? You're wrong on this.
Yes, you're wrong.
for me, it'd be the original Resident Evil. I don't play it like every year or anything, but it's the one that I go back to more than anything else.
Is this the remaster or the
either? Technically, I still prefer the very original. It just has a special place in my heart. That remake was so good. It was the reason I bought a GameCube.
So good, man.
And I've got it on the PS4, and I'm gonna buy the Switch version.
Are you?
I mean, having that, if I could play that just anywhere as well, I'm happy.
Yeah, I think I have to agree. I think I would.
Yeah, I'm well into that.
Yeah,
it is perfect for Switch, isn't it?
Yeah. And Adam can't say shit because he's not here.
We're on a roll today, lads.
Take it over, David Ayres. Are there any good Christmas games? Now, is this games to play around Christmas or games about Christmas?
I mean, if it was a games to play at Christmas, I'd go with Journey, like McPoo's, because I mean, I did say this, like, I kind of replied, I didn't answer the question, but I did reply to this question when he sent it, to basically say that when I very first played Journey, it was at Christmas. It was Christmas Eve, if I remember right. And it was like, it was such a nice experience, like, that first time as well, and just sat, played it start to finish, and it's such a nice game. I mean, I know it has like a sort of, not bittersweet, but it's a bit of a darker sort of turn towards the end.
Without spoiling it,
because you'll
and
you'll
if you haven't played it by now, what are you doing?
You
spoil
right.
it. No,
yeah.
Do you know what? It came out fucking years ago. Go play it if you haven't. Like, it is. We can't talk about Journey forever, but oh my god. Like, I remember playing it. I came in from work on a close, like, and I got it in the day and it was waiting for me. It was about 2 in the morning. I sat down, started it. And like, I remember, because obviously you meet random people, you've got no idea who they are when you're playing. I mean, the gamer tag can pop up in the credits, I think.
Yeah,
but
it does.
I had no idea who it was. And like, it was one person I met solely that stayed with me till the end. And in the kind of context of the story, it's brutal when it kind of ends. And I just remember just breaking down into tears at the end of it, and just being stationary for 45 minutes, just not moving, it's really affecting. It's an absolutely incredible game.
Yeah.
But yeah, there you go. I've got a Christmas game, an actual Christmas game, which is James Pond 2 RoboCod.
Oh yeah.
Right. That game, I played that on the Mega Drive, and it is still one of my favourite games of all time, because there's plenty of Santas and Rudolphs and teddy bears and Christmas presents. That's not really stupid, but it's a really good game. So James Bond 2 RoboCod.
It's a great name.
It is, isn't it?
RoboCod.
Tying into that last question as well, the very first time I played the original Resident Evil was on Christmas Day.
Was it?
Yep. 6 o'clock in the morning, lights off. Dogs through the window.
Jesus,
me shitting
Merry Christmas
myself.
To you.
Yeah, it's like, brilliant. This is how I want to spend Christmas.
I can imagine you eating your turkey like that zombie, that first time you encounter a zombie.
Someone walks into the room, I just turn around.
Yeah. They quickly turn the light off and walk back out. Yeah. Cool. But that's kind of it, guys. So thanks for listening. You can go and check our website whenever you want, guysofgeek.com. We've got lots of reviews, videos, all kinds of stuff on there. Everyone works incredibly hard to keep the site publishing this kind of quality of stuff. And that's why we appreciate any kind of donations you can give towards our Patreon, patreon.com/godisageek. You know, we don't do this for the money. I know we say this a lot, but we don't. And the amount of work like our editor-in-chief puts in behind the scenes, the amount of time Gary spends writing reviews and playing games and doing features, Chris Hyde, newly on board, writes so many good features, and he's kind of come to the team, you know, fitted in nicely. Nick, always a pleasure to read Nick's stuff. Some very good thought-provoking pieces, and he's got a lot of good Switch reviews. Nicola, again, she's really great with words, and she's great on the podcast as well. And Mick is just like relentless on the news, and he's constantly giving you all the JRPG reviews that you'll never see anywhere else. But you know, that niche exists, and he covers it very well. And you know, Mick Fraser, again, he's phenomenal with it. He's always been a great writer, and his videos are fantastic to watch. Mick as well, Mick D, his videos are coming, you know, they've been coming through for a while now with his breaking points and whatnot. And just the team in general is fantastic guys, fantastic girls. And yeah, you should all read our stuff, and then we'll be able to play games and talk about them on the pod with the wonderful Mr. Adam Carroll as well, because we also love talking to you, mate, and you've been a great addition to this team. So thank you for that.
Thanks.
Enough of the soppy shit anyway. Just just go go out there, play games, enjoy yourself. Thank you, Adam, for joining me.
Yeehaw.
And Gary, take care, mate. It's also been a pleasure.
Yeah, it has.
Bye-bye, everyone.